Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another special edition of Borderless Minds podcast. This is your guys again, Jado, and my boy here,
Christian.
And we have a special guest amongst us, Kenny. Hello. He's going to introduce himself in a little bit, but basically he went to school here in the U.S. He's an entrepreneur, and he's going to tell us more about what he's doing here in the U.S. currently and what his journey has been so far. So without further ado...
He's only visiting, right?
Well, he's about to get into that.
Okay, good. Yeah.
All right. So without further ado, go ahead and tell.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you guys so much for having me. I've been watching the 2 episodes that you've done before. So I
appreciate you.
Yeah. I wanted to come and support and be a part of it because I think what you guys are doing is very cool. Briefly, Kenny Nkwari, born and raised in Rwanda. Came here at 17 for senior year of high school and then did college here. And then after college, worked for a year.
You worked here?
Yes, in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, yeah, it's about time I head home.
Yeah.
So left for home. There, worked in a bank for a little bit, maybe like 6 months. And then I've always known that I wanted to start my own business or be a business person. So I just went and did that. And the business is Higa Coffee. We sell Rwandan and Burundian coffee, specialty coffee, to your neighborhood cafe is what I like to think about it.
All over the world or in the U.S. specifically?
So this is bootstrapped, so maybe one day we'll get out to all over the world, but currently it's just the U.S.
The U.S. I know our listeners are mostly interested in the journey here in the U.S., so I know you just give a broader introduction about yourself, so I think we're going to go deeper into some of the details here. So you came for high school. How did you even go about coming here? How did you even know that you wanted to come in the U.S.?
Yeah, very good question. Actually, I wanted to start with asking you, on the last podcast, you were talking about who you had a friend. Do you remember who? Of course I do.
And like I said, I try to give privacy unless the person is here to also give their own story, their own side of the story. But that friend was you, man. I remember it was in grade 11. Wait, you didn't know? So you listened, you didn't even catch anything that would tell you that it was you.
Well,
no.
You went I remember in 2011, you went to high school to finish your last year there.
I thought it was, we can maybe blur this out, but I thought it was Asen.
Nah, I think it was you. I think you came around the same time. Like I said, we'll blur it out because, but there's a lot of Asen anyways in Rwanda, so nobody would know unless they went to school with us. Yeah. But no, it was you, man. Yeah. It was you the grade 11, I think that's when you left. And we started talking. He's like, how did you do it? And then you were able to provide the details.
Yeah.
But I don't think when you were doing it, you said anything.
Yeah.
So when go about your journey. Yeah, yeah. Go about your journey on that.
Bro, like, it really comes down to, you know those posters, those brochures that they give you in high school here?
Yeah, I got you. Or so like, the recruitment got you.
You're like... Man, I used to look at these websites like Harvard University, and they would have an Asian kid
on the post, international,
a black kid,
yes,
two blonde girls, and then like I don't know, a racially ambiguous person,
yeah,
and I was like, I want to be
one of them.
One of these kids.
On the school website.
On the school website, which is funny because I ended up on the school website.
High school or college?
In college.
Okay. We need that link. We need that link before we post this picture. Yeah, I mean, this video.
I wish I could find it somewhere. My family wasn't too happy about that picture because it was at a football game and I was...
Screaming
and basically going wild. So, but anyway, I was on the website. But let's bring it back to high school. I went just because obviously that stuff worked on me, and you know, you guys know how great that stuff looked back when you're in high school.
100%.
But right around like ninth grade, I don't know. I think it was like, if you remember anything, like I was into like computers. I thought I was going to be a hacker and all of that. And so the seed got planted that way. And I also really loved playing basketball, so I was like, both of those interests the America just looks better for both, right. both of those interests.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I could go work at Facebook. I thought, you know, you just, you know, I'm 14. I just thought, like, you just, like, go work at Facebook.
Sure.
The world was yours.
I was like, I just got to go work at Facebook. So I started looking into it. And also, we were playing basketball. And so I was like, okay, I can probably, like, get into university through basketball. Especially if I don't have the grades for, like, Harvard, I guess you get into a really good school with basketball. So it was kind of the interest started with those brochures, then it fell into how do we
make it happen?
And so I started coming up with a plan, a 14-year-old, in my 14-year-old brain.
Entrepreneurship already on those.
That was the plan.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just started literally hitting up people on Facebook.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like I just started hitting up people.
You were born to be an entrepreneur. You start reaching out to people like, how do I apply in the US? Who did you reach out to? Like, you don't have to give names, but were there people that were studying here? Were they... Like, who was it? Like, what kind of person did you reach out to?
A lot of them were people that I just knew were going to school in the
in
U.S.
In America. Oh, like, okay.
And they were usually in college or they were in high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I just started hitting them about, like, how do I apply to your school?
Okay, I got you. That's what I was going to ask you. Like, what kind of information were you looking for? Were you looking for them to help you? Like, okay, help me with this application process. What
I'm
do I need to do?
Somewhere in there. Also somewhere in that thing that you guys probably have heard.
Yeah.
Have gotten, sorry, where it's like, oh, can you help me apply? Like, I'm sure I probably did that, but I just asked so many people, and I remember there was this dude, I have to go back on Facebook and find him, and he was extremely helpful. He was like, here's how I got here, my family had to pay some money, and I remember he was so open that it shocked me. I think he told me, like, he was paying, like, for school, he was paying, like, $2,000-$3,000 a year, but then he had extra costs. Because he went in high school too.
Oh,
but he had extra costs, like living costs, whatever. Yeah. So it would total to like 5 or 6 thousand, something like that
for high school.
For high school,
yeah.
But he was on a scholarship, so and he walked me through that entire process, just telling me though.
Yeah.
Never actually did any of the
but
things.
But
at least
he gave
you,
As soon as I had that, I was like, I gotta go start talking to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they have their own version of how all of this happened, but at least in my mind, that's kind of how it happened. And so, yeah, my dad also started talking to people, be like, hey, how does this happen? Blah, 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 blah. We got some help from somebody. Eventually, when I was getting close. Because I had applied to some schools by myself.
Yeah.
That never usually went far because I was writing emails like a 14-year-old. You know, probably like, dear kind sir.
It's still like, man, I'm still impressed by just how like independent you were, because you were not afraid to reach out to people, which is something that I think only as an adult that I'm trying to get away from. Like that shame of feeling like, I'm going to be bothering somebody, so I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But I have to applaud you for doing all that as such a young kid, such a young age.
Yeah.
Because, man, that I think that's what makes you an entrepreneur. Like, even, I know we're going to get there, but I have to applaud that before we even go further. Like, reaching out to people and just deciding, like, hey, I'm trying to apply this. Like, if you're wanting something, then you go for it.
Yeah.
Whereas, for me, at least, if I can talk about myself, nah, man, I was always afraid to reach out to people. I'm always like, this is what I need, because I was still like dependent on my parents. So it was always like, does mom approve first? Does my dad approve first? Like, oh, mom, this is what I want to do. What do you think?
Yeah.
But I feel like, so it was always like, oh, okay, I have that shame in me, or I still need permission to do anything. Good stuff, man.
I think all that kind of stuff. I appreciate you for saying that, by the way, because it's not like, again,
you're not thinking it's just one thing you want.
I just thought of it like that, but it's also probably comes from my family, like the way my dad is, and I probably get that from my dad, and the not being afraid part probably from my mom of what people think, but the going out there and actually doing it, my dad.
Nice.
So anyway,
skills for an entrepreneur. All right, keep going. So you applied after that, and then you get here.
I apply, I get yeah, so apply, probably applied to like 16 schools or something.
Wow.
I don't know.
Did you know?
Somewhere around there.
So if I may interrupt, like, did you know it was free for high schools, at least for Americans? And then did you consider going to the U.S. in college instead of high school? Or was it just like, hey, I want to go to like...
That was the other part. I figured I needed to get to college, to high school here because, you know, I remember my grades. You remember my grades?
So you're like, yeah, let me just go ahead before I start using my grades to apply for school.
This is before, like, this is way before, like, right now, a lot of kids from Rwanda go straight to, like, even Harvard. There's a bunch of kids that are going to Ivy League, ACT, and things like that. So I just looked at the numbers, bro. If you're coming from Rwanda, unless you were like number one in the national exam, at least back then, number one in the national exam, the chances of getting a good college.
So you had your eyes already on Ivy League school. Even him as a doctor is that he wanted to be.
Not as a doctor.
To be frank with you.
I'm not a doctor. Just to clarify.
You already mentioned that in the past. But like as your plan that you had.
Because like he said, the recruitment works. Like he looks good.
It does.
And the name and the marketing you mentioned like previous episodes. Like marketing.
Yeah, marketing.
Like, those things like do touch you.
Yes.
So then like I would like to envision myself. Indies, like on the school website.
I liked when you say in the previous episode where you say if you want to get here, it's better to go in small schools because that's a higher rate for acceptance. But the only thing we added was, yes, you might get accepted in the college, but there's also a visa process, which is now the next thing. So you get accepted and you go through the visa process. What was your visa process about?
I remember listening to your experiences. And again, mine was different. Mine was different.
Tell us more.
So I apply and fun tangential story. I remember there was this girl that like she was at our school.
Yeah.
And she just like she went and did the interview. She came and told all the students, "Peace, I'm going to Canada."
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk to me nice. And then she got rejected.
Oh, heck no.
She had held a party. She had, like...
To say bye before you get the visa.
To say goodbye to everybody.
That's gonna be tough on her. To even show up again.
Yeah.
And it was the kind of thing where, like, it's like, you tell everybody, like, for, like, a whole month, you're like, I'm leaving next month.
Yeah.
Organize a party. Yeah. Do all these things. And stop... submitting your homework. She's like, I'm gone. I'm going to... I think it was the US. Yeah, it was the US. Yeah, so yeah. I'm going. So anyway, all of that happened. So when I went to the interview, I was very humble. But I was also myself. So I got there and I remember very, very well the area. I don't know if you guys have talked about what it's like. It's
like a waiting room.
Yeah,
he said it's like at a bank, going to a teller.
It's like going to a teller. I thought when I thought of it, when I was visualizing it, I thought I was gonna have a
one-on-one in the office.
I sit in somebody's office. I shake his hand. I have my suitcase on, you know, and my like my little like. I don't know, my pouch with my documents. And then I get there and it's like a bank. I'm like,
open space.
Jesus.
Everybody's sitting there just watching you. Yeah. They're hearing everything.
Matter of fact, they rejected a dude right in front of me, right before I got there. When they reject you too, it's like...
They give you back your stuff.
Yeah. And the guy started like begging.
Anyway,
I'm there. I'm like sweating. I'm, you know, my armpits, like my shirt. It's a whole mess. But anyway, I get there, and back then, they used to ask you for a bank statement.
Yeah.
And they used to ask you for your report card.
Wow. You like your high school report card?
I don't know if they...
No, I had mine. I had mine. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember if it was like a... They asked you for it, or you bring it.
I brought the grades, including the certificate from Cambridge. I didn't have the IB yet.
Yeah. Same. Because I had
you never finished the IB, but you had your Cambridge.
I had my Cambridge and whatnot. But I remember I got to the window and she just like You know how they just like you were talking about it on past podcast. It looks like they're almost like they've already made up their mind.
Yeah, it's just you showing up with a few documents because when you apply, I feel like they have all your information.
Yeah,
and it's just a matter of knowing. Oh, okay. Do we go with this? Do we go through with this? Or
to me, it sometimes feels like it just goes off a vibe.
Well,
like the person looks at you like, I don't like your face.
Body language.
More than the dog.
Body language. Like,
and you're like, yeah.
Because like we used to hear those, I don't know if you guys ever heard those sayings, like there was this lady over there, like if she interviewed you, like out of 50, only like maybe like five or six would get the visa.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody else would get denied. So I think sometimes it depends on who interviews you as well.
Yeah. So I remember very well, I think we were doing 7 classes. She looks at my papers, mm-hmm. and then she looks at my report card.
Like a transcript?
We had 7 classes.
Right.
And I remember I had, like, I want to say, like, 2 A's.
Okay.
Maybe a bunch of B pluses. All or right. maybe more like, no, it must have been like 3 or 4 A's, a bunch of B pluses, and then a D.
What class?
What class was...
And remember, I used to love history. So,
the irony.
Yeah, like, yeah, like I remember, like, I handed it to her. She looks at it, she's like, so what's, like, I think she was trying, maybe she saw that I was nervous, and she was trying to, like, you know, make me feel comfortable or whatnot. So she looks at it, and she's like, so
what happened
here? And it's like, and I just remember, like, something came over me, but it's... Now that I'm at this age, I also realize it's my personality.
Yeah.
But I just remember looking at her and I was like, we're learning American history.
You're trying to apply and you're failing and American history?
I just couldn't lie. I was like, we're learning American history. And it's
was
teacher
John? You said it's kind of boring. It's a teacher. I don't think any of that is.
I actually love teacher John. That was his first year. No, when I went to apply, it was his... Anyway, I can't remember, but he hadn't been yet there too long.
Yeah.
But anyway, she saw the grades, and she looked at it, and she's like, and I'm like, I'm sorry. She laughed.
Does this guy realize that he's trying to come to America? Does he realize it?
I mean, I think...
But maybe it's a great way to say, I'm going to learn American history.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to learn from the source.
But I just remember she laughed. Like, she died. She thought it was hilarious, and it went from what we were talking about, like...
It's just a little relaxed.
She's
like,
more relaxed. Yeah. And then she was like, okay. She'd like to do the papers, and okay.
Come back Thursday.
Yeah, it was always a Thursday. Yeah.
So as soon as I heard that, I was like...
Great.
It's like 99% sure, because I think that's when they go back and do their background check and make sure the documents are legit.
No, I got that. You know, I still made the mistake of that girl. I went straight to school. Like
nothing happened.
No. I got to school and I was like, no more homework.
Oh, that's the week.
So do you remember what month it is? Like you got the interview versus, because I'm trying to like picture what point of the semester you're
so at. I arrived late for senior year. Everybody had been in school for a month and a half, so I want to say it was like October 11th or something like that that I arrived in the actually pretty sure it's October 27th.
So it was pretty much like in the middle of the semester then, like at least at Green Hills, like where you went to high school.
Yeah, because they had already switched to Green Hills, had already switched back to this American system. Anyway, I still here.
So you're like, no more homework for me. Like I'm out of here in a week.
Peace.
Did you tell anyone? I went and there was this Tunisian lady that was a French teacher, and she asked for homework, and I just remember being like, I don't have it.
The audacity. I cannot. I'm leaving. I don't have it. What are you gonna do to me?
It sounds like I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I'm just here so I can get fined.
My parents paid tuition. That's why. That's the only reason I'm showing up.
But okay. So no. Yeah.
You get to high school here. How was the experience like to go into high school? Do you feel like it was a good thing that you went to high school here and then college? And like just a perspective. Like, did you like it going from high school to college, or would you feel like you would have preferred just going from Rwanda straight to college here?
I think my perspective on that has always changed. Right when I was going through it, it was horrible. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like I spoke the English that we spoke back then, which is non-existent. We went to school where you would learn English. Like, here's a sentence, read it. You know, so I could do that. I could read, but I couldn't have a normal conversation. So that
Even you.
So like, he made fun of me because
I laughed so hard when he said that.
Yeah.
But he felt like he was Green Hills going to like an English focused school captain.
No,
but like, I had 3 years. He left he was a francophone.
Yeah, so I was like all francophone. Like I wasn't. Yeah. There was no.
How many years did you?
And by the way, the last year they did a lot of like
English speaking. English speaking.
And it was like intensive. But you're doing it around your friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's. There's that teenage awkwardness, but it wasn't the same as me doing it in front of people I don't know. So anyway, that was a very challenging story. That, for example, a little story that you guys might find interesting. For 1 month, I got the same sandwich for breakfast.
Because it's the only thing you could say.
Listen, I couldn't even say it.
Pointing.
I just...
What?
Because I remember I could go to McDonald's and just say number one. And that's
For that, it took until sophomore year. Because I would go to McDonald's and always order number 7. Angus Deluxe. Still remember it, bro. Angus Deluxe, bro.
There's no specifics. Like, hey, you can't say no ice. You can't say nothing. Give me everything that's in that package.
Yeah. I didn't even know what
I'm glad I stayed, man, because I know I was francophone when I joined Green Hills.
Yeah.
It was hard to even speak in front of people for me. Like, it was literally hard. But she used to call me out. Again, teacher, bless her soul. I'm glad she even did, because at the time I thought she was just
hating on me.
But he helped me out, because anything of time she had anything to say, she would be like, Christian.
Yeah,
like, why me again? Please don't make me stuck today. Because
you're
also
sat in front a lot, so
after that I went behind, because I remember I was just talking to, I think it was you or somebody else, again no names, and then she called me out, Christian, I already said quiet, can you spell quiet? I didn't know what she meant. All I said was quiet. See, this is what I'm saying. Like, she literally said I repeat the same thing, quiet. She looks at me and then she's like, see, you can't even do it. The whole class laughed. I'm like, I'm not sitting in front no more. Yeah. So every single time we'll go to an English class, I'll be at the back, because I'm trying not to get cold. But it never worked, because she was still like, oh, hey, we're about to start a presentation. Christian, come.
How about you start?
Why? And that was just coming from Ifa. It was the first time I had, like, just speaking. Like, I can read the sentence, yes. But if I have to just go there and start, like, presenting or get an interview, because there was time where she would, even the interviews, like, for embassy or just being able to talk, she would be like, oh, we need to practice communication, because we are all English as a second language for us. Yeah. And ESL, one of the things, ESL, yeah, America. It was ESL. So we had to go in front and we had to prepare. Like, she was, she would give you like a scenario where you're like, oh, hey, you are architect and I'm about to give you a job.
Yeah. Wow.
These are the things that you'll be talking about. And then you come in front, it's like, oh, hey, how long have you talked about, how long have you worked for? Like she gives you, this is your title, like you're an architect, go through some of the things you need to know about the architecture. I'm going to ask you about how long you worked. So you answer those questions before, but then you come in front and you start speaking. Like, you answer them, like, with you, but then you leave the paper behind. And then you come back and you just start.
Yeah, my experience was more like try it by fire.
Yeah. I'm glad I had that. She was tough, but I'm glad.
And you know, I used to have shoulder injuries.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You would dislocate your shoulders. I remember when we played basketball and you would dislocate
all the time.
I had been practicing and all this stuff. I thought I was going to make the team, blah, 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 blah. Week one of the basketball season.
Yeah.
And that's high school here or back home?
High school here.
Okay.
So I dislocated my shoulder and brah.
That was it?
You didn't
know. No, how do you communicate with police and ambulance?
All the procedures. You were just probably crying.
I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing here? Sorry, I can't curse on here.
No, you can't, don't worry. We'll find a way to.
So, it was just a lot. But we don't think about it often.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you gotta bury some shit. Yeah. So, some stuff. You gotta bury some stuff. I'm very fun.
But I think you mentioned you went to high school. What state did you go to high school to?
Like Minnesota.
Minnesota. Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's where you went to college too, right?
That's also where I went to college.
So did you spend like? Oh, because you came in spring semester, so it was like cold season when you came.
I went in the fall.
So like you did experience like the winter time in Minnesota.
Yeah.
How was that transition for you? Coming from like Rwanda, where like the weather's always nice, like 80s to 60.
Yeah.
All year long.
Never 60. 70 to 80.
60s at night, like at 2 a.m.
But yeah, I can see some days.
In the volcanoes, but...
I think if it gets to that cold, that's the lowest it can ever go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's another part that I've blocked out.
We don't think about it. It's trauma that I'm trying to block out. Like, you were not excited to see snow?
No. No.
Wait, so am I the only
one? Heck, am I going to see snow?
Are you crying?
The thing I remember about it is before the snow came, it was already very cold. For me, like extremely cold. So they had already, like, my friends had already, like, taken me to the mall, and I had gotten, like,
jackets. Proper jackets,
winter clothes. And I was wearing those in October, so, like, around right now, I was already in winter clothes. So the day the snow came, my boy that lived next to me was from Bosnia. He comes, like, knocking on my door. He's like, yo, snow, I bet you haven't even seen snow, blah, blah, blah. He was a really good dude. And then they woke me up, and I just went outside, and I was like,
"What is it? Why are you excited about this?"
I just want to go back to bed. But anyway, so I wasn't, and the transition was hard, and like, snow for me, I'm good.
Okay, so now, because I'm trying to get a perspective, like, okay, I know, like, for us in high school, you have like some sort of like major, quote unquote, that you focus on in high school. How was it for you coming from that kind of system to high school here?
Yeah.
And how did that transition from high school here and the system transit to college? Do you feel like it helped going through college and so being a...
We were doing IB. Baccalaureate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it would prepare me extremely well for... I've got to be honest, I don't know how much homework I did that year, but I felt like we had already learned most of the stuff. Some stuff I didn't do too well. Like, I remember there was a bio class where I was struggling. There was a little bit of calculus too, or something around math where I was struggling, but everything else it was good. But again, the bet for me was, I knew it was going to be difficult, but the bet for me was, let me get to the U.S. and apply from the U.S.
Local college.
The odds of getting a good schools are higher. Much higher. And so
it was didn't it work. The reality?
Yeah.
You got the good school in college?
I mean...
That you wanted, at least?
I definitely shot higher than what I got.
aim for the stars,
land on the moon.
Oh, yeah, definitely got a couple... Wait lists, maybe one or two, like...
Because, like, here you have, like, guidance counselors that can help you guide you to college applications, depending on your grades, right? Here in the U.S., if you go to high school?
Yeah. They weren't encouraging me to go very far, because they didn't think I have the grades.
Oh, wow. Even
they weren't encouraging me to shoot very high. So...
you said, go next door.
They're like... You know, there's a state school next door. You should apply to go there.
That just brought me to something. I know we're going to eventually get into where we have an episode where we get to share this, but I think you just mentioned something that we're, like, underestimating you. Do you think it had to do with, you know, being African? Like,
oh, absolutely. Because also, I don't want them to paint at least mine. Yeah. I don't want them to paint them as if they're... They were like, oh, black person or African.
Yeah, they were just worried about this African kid.
Like finances.
Yeah.
You know. I remember back then payments weren't easy and things like that. So, like, she had seen a bunch of people struggle
to get,
I think it was justified. It was like, let's maybe bring the
expectations lower.
Let's bring it to something that's more manageable.
Okay.
I had okay grades. I didn't have anything mind-blowing.
But they're just looking out like, hey, we've seen people get disappointed in the past
because not be able to even finish.
Yeah.
So
they were looking out. Yeah. Okay.
Were you the only random kid at your high school, or were there any other international / African students?
I don't think. I would also say the same in my college.
You were the only random?
Ever.
Oh, wow.
Ever?
Yeah.
Did they have a flag after you left? Because I feel like every school had it. I feel like every school you get to, they have a flag.
As soon as I got there, they had one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And hopefully not the old one.
My college, though, I feel like there must have been...
Not the old flag.
No.
Okay, good. There's a school I went to, once again. Yeah. They had the old flag.
Yeah.
But not the one I went to. The one I went to. They had the old flag that they had to change.
In the US?
Yeah, I have a friend who was going there. Like, she had to speak up and say, this is no longer a flag. You have to change it. Yeah.
Wow.
So I think whenever they have international students, then they get to put the flag on. Yeah. That way they show, like, they have had the diversity throughout the schools because that brings more international students. Probably that school hadn't had that many rundowns since that flag. So,
yeah. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So now you finish high school, you graduate, you go to college. What did you major in college?
So I graduated with international management.
Okay. I got you.
How did you choose that?
Yeah, I got to junior and they're like, you got to graduate with something.
Wait, you were on the... Whoa.
Gotta graduate with something.
For 3 years as a junior,
you
had no enrolled in any major like this.
For a while, I was making my own major, bro.
Okay. So, once again, we Africans, right? Yeah. We still gotta answer to our parents, and this is something they take seriously when it comes to major. Yeah. And how did the conversation go to let them know?
The key to all of that is setting low expectations. So you can only surpass the expectations. So
they had given up.
If this one can make it through college,
that's enough. As long as he graduates, it's possible. That's enough.
Wow.
I think it's possible. Yeah.
He said the bar was in hell.
The bar was very, very low.
But you are firstborn, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I know we have to get back to that. I know, yes, we're talking about major, your experience here in America, and your major, how you chose, somehow junior. I have no idea how you did that. But we're eventually going to come back to growing up as a firstborn and how you managed to set low expectations, especially. But
I think I was, something made it easy for me. My sister is just brilliant. You know, sometimes you grow up next to one of those people and you're like,
she was too bright, she was like an eclipse over you.
I remember in like 6th or 7th grade, I just remember studying so hard. Man, I'm like 12 and I stopped playing football. I'm going to be the best student I can be.
What's up with the voice though? That's killing. Are you imitating yourself? Why you used
to talk?
That's how you think you sound.
That's how I think I probably sounded at 12.
I'm gonna
be the best. Then
I'm gonna fly
some helicopters. But anyway,
what a 12-year-old
sounds like.
Low expectations. All right, got it. I think if I was to go back, I would tell myself the same thing.
I remember I studied so hard, and then I think I was like third.
Okay.
And then my sister
first. You didn't even study.
No, I know she definitely studied, but like, and then she was like first, and then the year right after, which is where I gave up on those kinds of high expectations. I think she was like ranked the number one in the country or something like that for primary school. And this is the same like sibling that you know you're playing football with.
And you know, like your parents are gonna be like, you guys eat the same
food. You're eating the same food,
same water.
And I just remember, like, I've worked so hard to be third, and she's like, First in the country. And like the I didn't even get to enjoy the.
Do you guys ever talk about that? How she like you know, like when you have something, this is your time to shine, but she overshines you, and there's no time to celebrate. He needs straight back to
it
her.
It was an eclipse. It was eclipse.
Yeah. Did you ever talk about that with her? Did you ever open up to that?
I'm not sure. But like, I don't know. I don't want you to get the impression that it's like something I feel like. Yeah,
it's okay. It's gonna show up as you get older.
Yeah.
So you just said it was like, okay, this is what it is. I'm getting by without like having to deal with any bad consequences of not being first or second. So he's like, okay, I'm just going through, enjoying my play, my soccer, and
It was. I mean, by the way, I never was a bad student. I should give you that impression too.
I mean, from what you've said.
The way you explained everything. Set the low expectations. I'm like, oh, okay. All those things, you're painting a picture of somebody who's completely failing.
Oh, no. The stuff, yeah, every once in a while. Remember that math teacher that you found when you got to our high school?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you give me a D. Every once in a while. Not like all the time, but every once in a while.
All right, so the letter D. Okay.
Yeah, so like... They got used to a couple of those, you know, occasional, not steady. Like, I was never more than a B-plus student.
That's not so bad.
Because, obviously the D's always brought everything down, but, like, there was also a lot of A's.
Okay.
So,
thanks for clearing it out, because we had a different impression. Yeah. I was like, that's not what I remember. I was laughing. Okay. But okay, Junior, go ahead.
Yeah.
So now, did you work in the U.S. at all? I think you might have mentioned something about it this earlier, but...
Yeah.
Did you work in the U.S., and if you did work in the U.S., what areas were you looking to work into, and how was that process for you transitioning from college and getting into the real world in the U.S., if you ever did work in the U.S.?
I did. I worked in marketing, and then I worked for that in nonprofit that I think I mentioned at the beginning.
Okay.
So it was like maybe a year and some change, whatever, that 1 year of OPT, and maybe I think I may have worked a little longer or something. Like, I don't remember well.
At what point did you apply for OPT before? Mm-hmm. Did you even know about the OPT?
Yeah.
When did you learn about OPT?
So... The moment I entered that college, I was like, okay, now the goal is not to get to college. The goal is to get a job.
Yeah.
I remember the second week or third week of school, I went straight to the office of the international students. I'm like, where do kids from here get jobs at?
Mm-hmm.
I think that also influenced me doing my own major and stuff like that. I figured pretty quickly, instinctively, though, not like, it was not something at 18 I could have put... Mm-hmm. In a well thought out, like, I was just get me some sort of paper that I can present to somebody, and then I get a job.
Yeah.
Mm. Along the way, there's also some fuck ups, but you know, some mess ups. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then
you already say it's okay to cuss. You just like move okay. with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I graduate. It was supposed to be an internship that's like a training program.
Yeah,
they train you and then give you a job. The reason I'd selected that company was because they were part of a French group that I was like, okay, this is my best shot at getting a H-1B.
I
see.
They were sponsoring.
They're part of a bigger company.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, you know how you do interviews for jobs?
Yeah.
I didn't really do an interview. It's a longer story, but when I talk to the HR lady, she's like, so do you have any questions for me? You know, standard screening interview. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, do you guys sponsor people?
Oh, right on the bed. That was the only thing I asked.
And she's like, the company we have, last year we sponsored X, Y, and Z people.
Nice.
So I was like, okay, if it's feasible, they were already high up. There's a chance.
Yeah.
So I worked in marketing at an advertising firm, and then from there to an NGO.
How long did it take you to get a job? Sounds like it was fast.
Like, did you get some internships throughout college that helped, you know, secured that gig after college?
Again, my bless the hearts of the people at my college. For international students, it was a grind, and so figured that out, and then some other stuff happened in college. But then, so long story short, I had to do everything on my own.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow. Nothing that you guys don't know. Like, I don't know. They would, like, the office would send me to go talk to people, and these people would be like, let's say Target, because there's a big company in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You get to Target, you do the interviews, it's the first one, the second one, and then they're like, do you have work permit?
Yeah.
So what I did is I just started talking to people again. How do I solve this? So I started hitting up all the alumni that I could find. They were like a year or two ahead of me that I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And it essentially came down to you need to know people.
You need to know people. Right.
So I just did that. I literally just hit up people on LinkedIn, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
That didn't end up leading to the job.
Yeah.
What led to the job was the CEO of one company came to work to do a class or teaching a class.
At my school. Yeah.
Wow.
Or giving a presentation.
A last year class.
Yeah.
And so I just went up to him. I'm like, hey, do you guys have anything in tech?
Yeah,
because that was my interest. You know, remember I was a nerd in high school. Wanted to.
I thought he was gonna be a hacker.
Yeah,
he wanted to be a hacker.
I thought I was gonna be a hacker. But anyway, I went and he told me, you know, I think he said something along the lines, I like the fact that you approached me with exactly what you want.
It's a bold move, right?
And so he's like,
very.
Put me in touch with you know the CEO.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk to my people.
Nice.
So I just went and talked to these people. Man. And
yeah. I mean, I still could use that today.
Yeah,
like
it takes a certain amount of courage and just like guts. Talking just like to people. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Oh, for what it's worth, I was definitely sweating, but
at least you did it.
Yeah.
This is what I said, I'm 14.
And I think you just mentioned, like, you did it in high school. Reaching out to folks on Facebook, asking them about application. Now you do the same thing in college to get your job after graduation.
Nice. Are you trying to say I'm a yapper?
No. He's giving you flowers. He's giving you flowers.
You know how to go get your stuff without
go get her.
Overthink like what's gonna happen if you don't. Mm-hmm. But you just like go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
So then, I think this transitions well in with what you currently do and how you go approach folks, businesses, because. And again, that's still hard for a lot of people to even approach something as small as public speaking, let alone just approaching somebody and your livelihood is depending on it because that's your business.
Yeah.
So when did you... so you worked for that marketing company for about a year?
Maybe like 8 months or so.
8 months.
Something like that. And then... Yeah, and then... As soon as they figured, you know, my move was because I kept pushing for it.
you're
gonna be a sponsor. Yeah, I don't know. They were not with it. So then I left. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it wasn't even 8 months. Maybe it was like 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to be an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a guaranteed job.
A guaranteed job.
So it was like you
it was
come
easy
here,
for them to let you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like peace. So yeah, and then from that to the nonprofit. But sorry, did I answer your question?
I was gonna ask. Side question: did you know about like the STEM OPT extension thing, or did you ever consider doing a STEM major that would give you an opportunity to like extend your work visa, or did you just only envision OPT 1 year? Did you know all that information?
Yeah.
Before you started going to college, and because you know, like if you do STEM major. You can do an extension of your
extension,
OPT for an extra 2 years. Did you know that at all? If you can remember.
I didn't know about that.
Okay.
I learned about that around junior year. And I considered, okay, do I change my major? And but then I looked around because I had had to take some science classes, and I was like, math, anything with a lot of math, we're not doing that, baby. Anything with physics or chemistry, we're not doing that, baby. So, I was like, geology? So I took a geology class, and I was like,
this is
I can't
reality.
Look at no more rocks. I'm good. I'm good with the rocks. Good with the rocks. So we gonna have to make this business stuff work. So,
one year worked, and then you went to the non-profit.
Yeah.
How long did you do that for? And how did you even find it? Talk to people again.
My man.
So how did you go about going back home? Did you consider doing masters, or did you just say, you know what, this is
the equation for me is pretty simple. I've never been somebody that liked school. I could be good at it and all of that. Now that I'm a little bit older, I realized there was a bit of procrastination in there.
Yeah.
And just not being disciplined. Mm-hmm. That if had I learned that earlier, would probably have helped me. So the math at like, what, I was maybe 23, 24 when I was leaving.
Yeah.
The math was pretty simple. I can spend 6 years here trying to get a business, let's say, trying to get like a green card, because that's kind of how if it goes fast, it's about 6 years. Most people I was talking to.
Yeah, the green. Yeah, there's multiple ways to go about it. There's the H-1B that you can get. Yes, but it's still going to take longer for you to get to the green card. There's the sponsorship that goes straight to the green card. There is the EB-2. So it can take between 2, 3 to 6 years. Or sometimes, depending on your country, you can even go to 15.
Yeah.
Indians. Yes, Indians. So depending on the quarter, depending on what category of your green card, it can push it to longer. But so you're right. This is one thing. So that's your math. You're deciding, I'm going home without the green card. I don't care about the green card. I'm going home. But one of the things that we get scared of is just going home blindsided.
So
like, what was
sorry to cut you off.
No,
I was, before I forget this train of thought. Yeah. So the math for me was pretty simple, or the logic or how I thought about it was pretty simple. It was just like, okay, I could spend these 6 years trying to become a citizen here, but I already know what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to, the ultimate goal is to own a business.
Business.
I want to work for myself.
Yes.
And while I am, yes, terrified of the change and whatnot.
The unknowns, yes.
But there are other things that could open up. So, for example, in our culture, you can stay at home.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, go home and be with your parents.
So I was like, okay. Now, I have rent taken care of.
Yeah.
I have food taken care of. Mm-hmm. I can literally just go hard at this business thing.
Yeah.
Like, try something. Try something extremely ambitious that I don't think I could have tried here.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have a lot of things that would have to, like, you have to get a job to take care of the utilities and bills.
Yeah. Yeah.
When, in fact, at home, you have that taken care of. You can just focus on that one thing.
Yeah. You also have a system that's working for you, not necessarily against you.
Right.
Where the U.S. system like works for you if
you got the papers.
You got the papers.
Yeah.
So I was like, can I, do I want to wait those 6 years or do I want to go learn business there?
Back home. Yeah.
Hindsight, I have different thoughts, but the math then was, okay.
Easy.
I know what I want to do. Can I do that in Rwanda? Absolutely. I'm going to go do that in Rwanda and then the rest we'll figure out. We'll cross those bridges when we get
there. Jump in. Business skills.
Yeah. I like that. That's
like go mindset. Ahead. Keep going. So you decide to go.
Yeah. So I decide to go. From there, I worked at a bank, mostly because that was the only job I could get.
At least you got it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, once you finish with your story, like, I would like to know, like, how was the job search when you got to Rwanda?
Because
I've heard it can be quite scary, like, being able to secure a job back home. And I know he mentioned, like, not knowing what to do when you get home.
Yeah, because that's also another system you have to adjust, because you only went to school here. At that time, you were what? When you left, you were 17?
Yeah.
Now you have to go back at 23. So there's a lot of adjustments you need to know. Yeah. But go ahead with the story.
Yeah. again, I always jump into things head on. Like, I was just like, so I got there. I think I had sold my car.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was, you know, I probably had like $3,000 or something like that.
It's pretty good if you're gonna live with your parents. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I was balling. I thought.
That's good money if you're not paying any bills.
You know, I thought I was a wealthy man.
How fast did that go?
4 months. 4 months. I was like, okay.
You're not paying spending, rent. Spending. You're not paying rent. You're not buying food.
Call me Bill Gates Jr. is what I thought. That felt like Bill Gates.
He said, I want to live a soft life.
Yeah.
So what year is this when you get home? When you go back to
Rwanda? Maybe 2018.
2018. Okay.
Yeah, something like that. All right. Yeah, I don't know. But then when you do things like that, life hits you pretty fast.
Right.
So,
yes. Yeah.
Again, it hit me pretty fast. So I was like, okay, some things need to change. So I just went and I was like, okay, instead of doing the applications, like just sending out like like applications day in, day out, I just went and got a free internship. I figured I asked my parents, do you know anybody that works around you that does something that you think is interesting? And turns out my mom's like one. My mom had a where she used to work was somebody that develops power plants.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, can you set up a meeting? And she was like, he's a very nice guy. He'll probably accept, but we're not like tight like that. So we went and did the meeting and he was like, so I just told him like, hey, I'll come work for you for free. If you have any money, that'd be great. He's like, I absolutely don't have any money to pay you right now.
don't go too far. I absolutely don't have.
Don't even think about it. But if you want to come sit at the office
and learn
learn some things.
Yeah.
The nice thing is it was in town, so basically downtown. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I got there, I was in the mix already. Like I started seeing some people. I started asking about opportunities. Bumped into one of my old bosses because I had interned somewhere. And
when you went back home,
he was like, "There's a job opening at my bank."
Nice.
Oh wow!
Look at you. Yeah.
So I think I was there. I was working for free for 3 months.
That's not bad because I've heard 6 months. So
yeah,
3 months is not. And then before you could secure
a paid gig. Yes.
Oh, do tell people that normally don't want anything to do with free internship.
Oh, I don't know, man. Some people might not like to hear this, but I think if somebody is giving you their hard-earned money.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm thinking of it in this sense as a business owner. Like, there's a lot of sleepless nights, all of that good stuff that comes with being a business owner.
Right.
If I'm giving you my hard-earned money, and you need to be bringing something to the table.
Value.
Yeah, so like, you need to be bringing something. So
I'm buying the time, so I want you to just use it.
Yeah. And for me, there have had some humbling experiences, like, for example, not having good grades. I was like, okay. Going all the way even back to high school, I was like, okay, if I want the good things,
mm-hmm.
like, if I want the good schools, and I know I'm a B+ student, maybe A- when I really try hard, mm-hmm. what else can I bring to the table to make it, you know, worthwhile? So, basketball. So I approached it with the same mentality.
What else
like,
do I give you
yeah.
that can boost my value to you?
Can I make this package a whole package?
Yeah. So, long story short, to answer your question, work for free, man. If especially something that you see yourself doing for a while,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you most places, especially in a country like this, if you can afford to do 3 to 6 months somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you'll probably find the need they have. Once you find the need, you're going to be right there. And
spoken like a true entrepreneur.
Because I was going to say, like, that's where, like, at least the reality of different countries where, like, I want that chance, but I may not afford to give you this type of free when I have other things, responsibilities to take care of.
Yeah.
So, like, being able to, like, balance that is, like, the tough thing, because most people who want those chances don't have the luxury of being able to like stay somewhere
else. Oh no, absolutely. Yeah, don't even think that I'm. Don't even.
Like, what, would you advise? Like, is there any game that you would offer to people who are looking for chances but they cannot afford? Let's say they don't live at home. Or, like, is there anything? Did you see any friends that you saw maybe may their situation may help you give advice to somebody else who's looking for those opportunities? Let's say, hey, I go home, but I don't live with my parents.
Yeah. How can you have I to live by yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the way I look at it is something's got to give. You have to sacrifice something. So if you don't come from wealth or, I don't know, if there's something you're missing, you have to sort of compensate for it in another way. So let's say my situation, I would have loved to stay here and make it work in America, but that wasn't possible because we didn't have the means for me to stay here. Yeah. And
if you stay here, sort that out. You have to pay bills, you got rent, you got all these things, unless you have rich family where you can go stay for free, because I know even if you go stay with somebody, you still have to contribute something.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything here, you have to contribute. So this, if you don't have a job, there's still a cost that is that needs to go. Did your math for you.
It's like, I think that's a very personal decision. Like, for me to start a business, it's not like my dad didn't do business, my mom didn't do business. If anything, they don't think
business
is a good way to go about your life, you know. Even today, I'm not convinced that they think it's
but you're making it work, and that's a perfect segue now to go to, at what point did you realize that bank job was not something you wanted? Because I remember you told me you quit your job, you following something completely new, like you had no apparent experience in that. How did you go about deciding, like, I'm leaving this job, this steady paycheck, something that everybody wants? You have benefits, right? Or no benefits? Yeah, so you have all these things there.
You mean like...
So yeah, you have a perfect something, like something that comes every month. Yeah. But then you're like, yeah, you know what?
And a path to a lot more.
Yeah, but you're like, you know what?
Comfortable and steady.
Right.
Yeah, a path to like, certain comfort.
Yeah, how did you decide?
How did I decide? I think from day one, I just knew this is a means to an end. The end is to be comfortable by myself, to try something. So, because I knew my parents weren't going to give me any money to do this business.
Good
so,
parents.
Yeah. So,
figure it out.
Like, we paid your school fees and go figure it out. So, the job was always for me, like, to just... Hey, let's get this thing started.
Right.
Let's get some money. Let's save up a little bit. That's what I used to come here and do, like, to distribute some samples. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of savings from that, some borrowed money, and that's what I was able to... So, my mind was already made when I was, a lot younger. So, I knew if I get a job...
I apologize. I had to mute my phone.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
no, but if I knew if I get a job, it's just
for a quick thing.
Yeah.
I think you just touched a little bit on it, but about your business and everything. But at what point did you realize coffee was the business?
Oh, yeah.
Did you always know, or did you just like, was it just like, okay, you found it at some point in your life and you found it interesting and you just kept moving forward? Did you always know coffee was your thing, or how did you go?
I still don't know if coffee is my thing.
Okay.
I'm 4 years and some change in, and I still have no idea. And I don't think I don't think it's very useful to look at life that way.
Okay.
I don't know. What I liked at 14 is I thought I was going to be a hacker. When I get into something, I don't do anything at... Even 100%. I do 120%. Whatever I do.
Everything.
When I got into basketball, it was literally the same. I dreamt of basketball. I played basketball. I woke up. Me and this dude, we used to go work out at 4 a.m. in the stadium.
Yes.
Dang. Maybe you used to come with us. Okay.
During vacation.
During vacations.
Why do you keep calling it vacation?
During holidays.
Holidays,
why
yeah.
I say,
you were not working meant, then.
It's, I know, but my language has shifted. I haven't been in school, actually. Holiday. During holidays, we used to go there. I used to do, actually, during school as well.
Yeah.
But you didn't know, no one wanted to come with me, so I would go by myself. But yeah, keep going, because that's something that I feel like I'm similar to you, except I'm not an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Because my dad gave me this great advice. Actually, appreciate you, man. But my dad gave me this great advice, and it's something that I continue to follow. Like, if you're going to do something, do it 100%. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what's the point of doing it?
Yeah.
So literally, that's something that I do. So anytime I'm choosing to do something, I'm going to give my all. Otherwise, there's no point of doing it.
Yeah.
So why am I doing it halfway?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. So go on.
Completely agree. So... for me, it was just, I think the question was, how did I choose coffee?
Yeah.
So I still don't know. I just...
Did you stumble on it? Like, when did you discover your love for coffee, or the process? At least you gotta...
I quit my job before I knew coffee was gonna work.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Wait. So you knew you're gonna open business.
Yeah.
But you didn't know that you had...
What kind of business?
Right away?
Math was pretty simple. I was like, this is what I'm earning right now. Can I find something that earns me the same without
working
too much
for somebody? Yeah.
So I found a job writing grant, and it was part
time. Okay.
And it paid me
the same thing.
So I was. Yeah. It wasn't really like.
Oh, so you were writing grants.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I started writing grants, and then while I was writing those grants, I started looking at other things like, where can I go work for free? The part time.
The other so you change your time, like, okay, you're already making some lost wages, and then you also get an extra time to like explore something else.
This is a span of how long you are home in 2018. So you work 8 months here.
Yeah.
You go, you do a nonprofit for like a few months.
Yeah.
OPT is over. You're like, great, I'm going home. 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You start a job at a bank. You work 3 months
for free.
Four or five.
He worked for free. Yeah. At a plant.
Yeah, for
how long?
3 months.
3 months. Move on to the next job with the bank, and you work for how long?
6 months, maybe. Yeah, let's just say 6 months, just to make it
so
nice.
So you just
amount.
Keep, yeah, and then, yeah. Boom, quit the bank, go to writing
grants.
Yeah,
part-time.
Yeah.
And then looking for that.
And then while I was writing those grants, because it was part-time and could be remote, sort of just stumbled into coffee. It's a longer story, but I ended up at somebody's lab when they were cupping, and they had a bunch of people.
What's cupping? Give me
it's like a coffee tasting.
Okay.
It's the equivalent
Thank
of
you.
Tasting.
For the audience. Thank
yeah.
you.
And
for me.
And me too.
Yeah, ended up at that lab. I don't know. And I just remember one day there was like buyers from London and Japan, and I was like, I would love to work a job that allows me to still be connected to the U.S.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
At that point, I had spent, 7, 8 years in the U.S.
Yeah.
So I knew I wanted to keep some sort of
connection.
Anyway, again, try to add some value. Told them, hey, in America, there's all these coffee shops. Can I try to get you some clients?
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Wait. Wow.
He's at a coffee tasting, and he's like, oh, hey, I can get you... something in the
can
US.
I get
can
you
I,
some clients would that be of value? And they're like, absolutely.
Wow.
They set me up with samples and all of this stuff. So now I was like, how do I get to the US?
So you're like, I'm over this idea and I'm gonna figure out the way to get to
it. Yeah, it's like
that's,
something happens, you solve
hey,
it
that's,
and
that's,
then
I gotta
the
get
next,
to you like for
thing.
Real like everything you've done since high school, everything. I'm like, wow,
it's just been asking
yeah.
just asking for it. And then
and,
figure it out
trying,
on
trying. And but you know, like the success rate is very low. But
but you're doing it, you know.
What did Kobe say?
What did he say?
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
You don't.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Hey, he's a basketball player too. Is that that mama mentality right
that,
there? No. Let's not go there. Anyway, so like, okay, so like, two. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm a sip on your. Daring,
yeah. Like I said, I think even through it's kind of hard to notice when you're going through all that, but I feel like you can already tell. Like now that we're looking from far, because sometimes when things are happening in the middle,
yeah,
and you're in the middle, I mean, when things are happening in the middle or the center of it, you don't realize just things how things are being set for you
yeah.
to do. because I feel like your journey, the entire thing since high school, even the skills that you had, you're daring to approach people, to talk to people right away, for you to say, hey, this is not working for me, I'm just going to jump on a different ship, because those are the skills, those are the things that you have personally that belong to an entrepreneur, because you have to dare. You have to be able to risk everything to say, this is what I want, I'm going to do it. Because the rest of us, we're still scared, and we're learning how to, let me talk about me, I know I might just say that, and he's like, nah, I'm not that way. But there's still
He's like, you be scared.
Yeah, yeah, right, I'll be scared. Yeah, I'll talk about me.
I thought he was respecting himself in the third person. We.
I don't speak French anymore, so. Yes. But I feel like those skills are things that would make a great entrepreneur, and I think that's why you're here now. You talked about, how do I get the coffee to, how do I take a flight to bring these samples?
Yeah.
But now you're making trips that you sponsor yourself to look for clients.
Yeah.
And I know we're jumping ships yet, but I mean, we're jumping too far. I know we're going to get back to it. Anytime I see something in someone, we have to upload it, because doing it, man.
Appreciate you.
I know, like, there are things that might seem, because there are things that you go through as an entrepreneur right now. Yeah. That nobody else knows besides you. There are things that might still be scary, but you're still going to jump the ship and try to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But if you look from where you've been, and you look at that journey right now, man, I think we just need to applaud you for all that, because that sometimes you just need to look back where you're confident, just be thankful and be grateful, because that gives you that boost, that energy for you to just say, okay,
yeah,
the rest, I got this. Like, I got myself. I can do it again.
Yeah.
So, cheers to you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
So, after this,
we'll even go. Better yeses ahead.
Thank you. Keep going with that story. I just had to stop you and just give you your flowers once again, because, man.
Appreciate you.
Daring. Daring.
Keep the compliment coming.
I'm going to keep going, because I feel like.
I mean, I was hoping for some coffee samples here.
Coffee samples. Last time he did. I don't think today he was busy.
Yeah, today was a bit of a busy day, but
I think it was a fast stop. Thank you for stopping by. Just 2 days? One day?
So,
just one day, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's leaning into that conversation of you've made a couple stops in the U.S., a couple trips in the U.S. How many times have you come to the U.S. just looking for clients, and how do you decide where to go, like what states to go to, and how many states have you been to, or have you been able to sell to coffee shops too, and how do you get to decide where you're going?
It's a bit of a shots in the dark. To be honest, I try to go into it with a. It's gonna sound woo woo, but it's with an open heart. Expect the best. Think of the other person as a good counterparty. I have gotten. Some people have done like some not good things, like haven't held their end of the bargain. But I always try to come in with an open heart and don't overpromise anything to people. So try to be a good person. Usually, the person reciprocates. And the bigger thing, the other thing is. And by the way, I'm only saying some things that I've seen work. So try to bring an open heart. Try to listen more than you talk, which as a self-proclaimed yapa, is a bit hard. So it's a bit hard. But so try to listen, especially if you're just meeting the person for the first time.
Yeah.
Try to listen and ask questions about them that make them feel heard and... like you're actually interested in them. And if you're actually interested in them, it also helps you. Because you're literally not faking it. Like if I come up to you and I start, most people can tell very quickly if you're being fake. Yeah. So that and then the rest is to try and learn a lot faster than the mistakes that I make.
Yeah.
So,
that
one especially, I feel like I haven't mastered yet, but I'm working really hard to try and get, like, the working out now is a part of that because I'm realizing my energy levels are low and so all of that.
5 a.m. gang.
5 a.m. game.
You're working out at 5:30 a.m. Boy, be putting in the work and managing a business.
Yeah.
That guy doesn't sleep.
So when they say CEOs wake up at 4 a.m.
Literally. We have proof. Oh, man. So what would you tell your younger self right now if you were to go back? What would you say to your younger self? Like, what are the three things you tell yourself to do or to look out for?
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. Again, you know those things that I was saying that where I messed up, like school grades and whatnot.
Yeah.
I was never going to be like my sister.
Yes.
But I could have like been more consistent with. Mm-hmm. So like, just.
Stay in your lane.
Continue being yourself. Like, embrace your quirks and whatnot.
Right.
But you know, also show up, do the work.
Do the work. Yes.
Do even more than you think you need to do of the work, because that could apply to basketball that I really love. That could apply to computer science. That could apply to my grades. That could apply to even the job search.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think. Had I tweaked one or two things here and there, I did like 60 or so informational interviews, taking people to coffee, but had I been a little bit more prepared, just that. And then the other thing is, I don't know, man. Little me, you got it.
Yeah, no, that works. That's the best believe thing in yourself. To give. Yeah, like be you, because most of the time, especially now, there's the age of social media. For us, it used to be just a conversation you have with somebody, or even your parents when they would say, "Why don't you be like that kid?" So that comparison has always been something that just haunts us, because it's always be like that person, be like that person, instead of encouraging you to be you. But then you get here, everybody's just telling you, be you, to be happy. Mm. But then at the same time, we don't know who we are. Yeah. It's just, how do I be me? How can I be me if I don't know me? Mm. So this whole journey for us has just been self-discovery. And I think you just went through that. And you somehow you always knew, though.
I mean, I don't think it ever ends.
The journey never
ends. Even like what you were asking me about, like, do you think is this your passion?
Blah blah blah.
I might wake up.
That's the pathway now. That's
6 months from now, and be like, hey, you know what? Screw coffee.
Let me do something else.
And
maybe same highway, different lane.
Yeah, like. One thing I know I really enjoy is like bringing something up to life. So I started from that. The entrepreneur part is not for me to stack money.
Yeah.
It'd just be nice, enjoy. Especially right now.
It would be a byproduct of what you're doing.
Yeah. Like, but I really, really get a lot of pleasure out of like first just seeing something and making it happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have a question just for me and probably like the audience as well. Like, what was your first conversation like going to a first coffee shop, trying to sell them, showcase some of your
low expectations, baby. Oh, I walked in, I was so shooketh.
This guy is funny as hell.
Oh man, Tyler. Wherever you are in the world, dude.
That was the first person to sell to?
So, I get some money. I'm writing grants. But then I find a gig. Shout out to my ex-girlfriend. Well, maybe cut that part out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. But I'm writing grants. And then she tells me that there's this gig that she used to do where you bring American high school kids to Rwanda, to Tanzania, to anywhere in the world. They go to like 100 countries. So, and she was like, you know, if you apply, you could probably bring them to Rwanda. But part of that was training in the US.
I got my flight.
I gotta tell you, I didn't know what I was gonna do with these kids, but I was like, I get a flight out of that. So I got the flight.
Ulterior motives.
No, kill two birds with one stone. That's how I see
it. So I got the flight.
I see it too. Well, sure.
Did a bunch of desk research, found 16 coffee shops. I love the number 16, I don't know, by the way. I just love the number 16.
That's your lucky number.
16 coffee shops, and went to Minnesota in Minneapolis because that's so where that I was lived. The first, okay. Yeah, and I just didn't know how I was gonna do it anywhere else. So I just went to Minneapolis and literally handed out the samples.
Was that the time you came to DC?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the time you came to DC, or that was before?
That was before.
Oh, okay. And what year is this? Do you remember, like, the first time you came to the U.S. to, like, sell or with
2019.
Samples?
2019. Yeah.
1 year later after quitting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, just gave them the samples, and they were like.
So did the folks that you met in Rwanda, like, give you those samples to distribute?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you have to buy your own samples to be able to bring here?
Remember, I told the guy, like, hey, can I help you sell in the U.S.? So he's like, absolutely. Like, I would always love more markets and more buyers, blah, blah, blah. So he gave me some samples. So that was easy. And I was like, okay. So now how do we prove that we have a business? So I just went to those. Once I landed in Minneapolis, I just went to those 16 shops. Literally knocked first couple ones. I was like shaking, but I was like, I have 16 now. 16 coffee shops. I gotta get to them, baby. So sweating, walked in the first one. I was like, hey, blah blah. I probably butchered what I had thought I was gonna say.
Yeah, like a presentation that you had in mind. But
and they probably like shooshed me off, handed me a business card, like email this person or something. So I didn't even give them the samples for the first like four or five. Wow. I didn't even give them the samples.
Forgot about everything.
You know, like you get in on the line at a coffee shop, you know, how because there's
somebody like, behind you waiting to order, but you're out there like
I'm
business.
Just there like,
can I speak to the manager?
Yeah. But one of them, I want to say maybe like number 8 or something like that, was this dude named Tyler, and he was up in Minnesota, and he was just, I was just like, by that time I'd already switched what I was saying. I was literally like, hey, I'm from Rwanda, I have some samples, and I would love some feedback.
Wow, thank you for that phrase, because then I can help somebody else who's doing the same thing or in a whole different business. Like, how do I approach, what's a sample of a word that I can use?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so like it also gives them an easy out. Yes. Like, it's like, I don't have the time right now. A couple people told me that, and I was like, hey, respectfully, can I get your email?
Wow.
And then sent them samples that way. But anyway, that guy, I was just lucky. But it's luck that comes from the work that you've also put in. So I was just lucky.
It's 80% like 100% work, maybe 10% luck.
Yeah.
It works out.
Yeah. And so he just like walked me through the entire, like I took out my notebook. I'm like, okay, so, and I was like, so what is quality coffee to you? And he gave me some things. I'm like, how does a contract work? Literally,
wow!
I still have the contracts because they were signed with his name, and he literally went and bought 3 contracts, all the contracts, like so that they didn't need at the office anymore. But he handed me the contracts, so I took those home and obviously studied them.
Amazing.
So that's kind of how it worked.
Is that what? Is that his name, Tyler? I remember you said like shout out to Tyler. Like was that?
That was his name.
Was that your first client, or he gave you the game? He gave me the contracts only.
He was also a client. Yeah. He ended up buying.
So out of 16, how many clients did you have?
Good question.
Two.
Two.
And then two others that, because once I had realized, hey, you can also email somebody, because some of them had given me emails.
Yeah.
I was like, why don't I just get their emails and just email them?
If they don't have the time, yeah.
So I did exactly that. And then got two others on top. But those two others were like, I remember there was like somebody from Virginia Beach, and it was so random. And he was like, yeah, I'd love to try some samples. I sent him the samples, and he gave me a 3-bag contract.
Nice.
So how big is a bag?
60 kilos, so 132 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like, is that like decent money, like when you do like some contract like that? Is it like a monthly thing? Is it like a yearly thing? Or is it just like a one-time thing?
So not much. I didn't on that sale. I didn't make much, but I was just very happy. I'm
like you made something.
You got your step in
contract,
there,
bro. You know. So I don't know.
So you've been in business for like 5 years now, right?
Four years. Yeah, because it takes. This is all the things. This is like a business I parachuted in.
Mm-hmm.
It takes. So this I'm doing this in the summer of 2019.
I see, and then a pandemic.
Yeah, and then so I didn't really start until 2020.
During the pandemic, like, what was it? Did it hit you hard because you couldn't travel? Or like
more like I just freaked out, bro. Like you have a business and you're supposed to be selling stuff in the U.S. and you have clients.
Were you done with the other job, the writing grants?
Oh, as soon as I again, like the goal was there's you one got, goal. Yes,
yeah.
I got a bunch of yeses. Literally, I just wanted to figure out, can somebody buy what I'm selling? As soon as I got somebody,
two people, I'm out.
I was out. So.
Wow. Yeah. Love the courage, man. Man. Upload the bravery.
I don't know if you are able to disclose this, but so far, how many shops do you distribute to, if you can recall?
Clients, I would say maybe 21, 22. Wow,
that's amazing.
If you're talking about shops, it's probably well over. Because each client will have anywhere from two cafes to one has 27.
Yeah. Wow.
So there's different sizes and different, yeah.
Man. Yeah. What's one of the biggest lessons one of the biggest lessons you've learned in this business? That if you could go back, what was one thing that you feel would save you money and time if you knew it back then when you started?
Yeah. Double down on reading. I read a lot.
Double down the reading.
I read a lot. So it's helped me a lot, especially with all of this stuff, leaving your job. To me, it was a risk. It was a real risk that I don't get my job, but that I don't have money, right? But I had already read about enough people that have taken that risk it felt like. Yeah. The world is not going to end if I leave this job. Yes, I leave this job. So just double down on read more instead of watching Netflix. Read.
Yeah.
So it's been really helpful for me. But that's probably the only advice I would say, because I don't think I'm successful yet. So I don't. Oh, I shouldn't be giving anybody any advice.
It's giving signs.
No, but at least you further than where you started. Mentioned you should look back and where you were versus where you are to always let you appreciate all the hard work that has produced some fruits.
Yeah.
It may not be a whole tree, but it may be bearing some leaves.
And you're still young, man.
Yeah.
So there's a reason. Yeah, I think what you just mentioned about read more about people who've done things. I think that's even the reason we started this podcast, to be able to provide that information, that people are just doing different things and somehow they are making it happen and they are happier than whatever you might be holding on to, because that's, like I said, not everyone has that in their character of being somebody who just jumps into things and figuring out, because as you grow older you realize that people are just different, because things that come easy to you might not come easy to me. But the more you say that, then it gives them he did it.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to see somebody who's done it versus being the first one to do it.
Right.
It's like, he's done it and I can relate to Kenny.
I can relate to that.
I should be able to do it as well.
You guys might find this interesting, but there's this podcast that I've been obsessed with.
More than ours?
You guys only have two episodes.
and counting.
One of the big lessons. So it's basically this dude that reads biographies and talks about them.
Yeah.
And one of the big things that he's realized is that almost every single person you can think of that has had outside success copied somebody else.
Yes.
So for basketball, Kobe, if you know anything about Kobe, you know that he was obsessed with Michael Jordan.
Studied Jobs, the game, pretty much. Studied the game.
Another dude called Edwin Lang that was the inventor of the Polaroid, but Steve Jobs modeled his life after that, and the list goes on and on and on. You can
Picasso once said, "All art is theft."
Steal.
It's steal.
Yeah,
all art is steal. So it's pretty much just mirroring. It's not. Eventually, it's not really stealing, because there's no way you're gonna mirror the style, the lifestyle of somebody.
Yeah.
But it's gonna give you inspiration for you to do something.
Yeah.
And if you see somebody that they might not even be in the coffee business, but they feel like they want to quit their job, and then we have somebody who did, and somehow they figured it out.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, that's what I need to see. The only thing that I always just, because it's hard when you're looking at the biography of a celebrity, somebody who's done it and they're like right there, like they're above. Somehow it feels like really unrelatable because it feels like they're way ahead. Yeah. But when you're talking to somebody who's just literally going through that, I know you say you haven't done it. I know you're gonna keep going because now the last question is gonna be, what do you see yourself or what do you want to do? Because you're gonna plan eventually. It might not happen, but you're gonna plan. Like I said, shoot for the stars, land on the moon.
Yeah.
But seeing the people that are way there, like the big celebrities, it's kind of unrelatable because it feels like they're completely way ahead. When you read their lives, then it makes sense. It's like, oh, this is the little things you did.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get to talk about somebody now, I have, like, I can reach out to Kenny and talk to him. Like, hey, he's here. He's here. This feels more relatable and this feels more inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you inspire me more than whoever big celebrity is because their journey is different. But I come from the same country you come from. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in the same bench you went to school with. I saw you. You were my friend. And I know Rwanda is small, so we all somehow know each other.
Yeah.
And if I see you do something, and then I'm like, right, you know what? I'm inspired. I want to do the same thing. So
yeah, it doesn't have to be just reading. It could also be a podcast. You can
get access to information, pretty much.
Just find the information.
Network with people like Kenny.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Glad you came, man. Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Biggest fry. But I had maybe kind of like as we close towards this episode. Like, what would Kenny consider success, at least in this business? Or like, maybe, I know you mentioned like it's not about like the money. If money can be a byproduct and it comes in plenty, it's good. But what would Kenny consider having been successful in his business as an entrepreneur? Like, what would you like to see yourself, or like, what would you like to your business to be at?
I'm glad you asked that question because it ties right into what he was saying. I always hear a lot of people say, it's not relatable to think I'm going to be Jay-Z, or it's not relatable to think I'm going to, I don't know, be Ronaldo, whatever. I think that's a lot of just doubt and limiting beliefs. Why not? You have one life. It's... I don't know where we. Last I checked, I blinked and I was 30. Yeah. I gotta be honest with you. I still feel like I remember being 18 and feeling so big.
So you
are right.
But like now I'm like 30. So like, why not shoot for the things that you want?
To do. Yeah.
You know. So what was your question?
What does Kelly consider success? If like.
Great. So yeah, I want to shoot for all of that, and so I've been thinking about, especially with the business, whatnot. What does like that greatness thing, that great ceiling look like for me? And it's pretty simple. I would love to. I love creating things, so I would love to create a product that's world class. Wow. Simple, like. I just happened to have landed in coffee through a bunch of kind of like the way my brain works. Yes. So through a bunch of like
things, just figuring out somehow talking to people.
Landed in coffee, and I want to do a world class product in coffee because that's just where this journey has led me so far. So, what does that look like financially? Yeah, well, hopefully, I'm not. Flying economy on these long flights.
Okay.
On these long flights where, you know, I'm 6'3", where I, you know, my legs are hurting.
Your knees.
So hopefully I'm able to get some good seats in that sense, but also able to get enough for a family, to sustain a family, paid the kind of, you know, education as I was afforded. Just generally create a great working environment that the 23-year-old Kenny of 2050 will think of and be like, I would love to work for that company.
That's amazing. Love that.
Yeah.
I know I keep saying as we close, but how can people get in touch with you, or how can they find, like, let's say somebody who may be interested in one of your coffee products that you distribute? Like, how can I get in touch with you? Social media, email, is there anything that's specific that you...
Yeah, so find us Higa Coffee on Instagram. Follow us, give us some likes. That helps. anything else, you can, if you ever want to, you know, shoot me an email, admin@higacoffee.com. And I think that's it. Yeah.
Proud, man. Once again, I just want to say how proud I am of you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this. Actually, you left before we did this, but we had a book where they say most likely to become this, and there's a bunch of whatever things that 18 we thought we were going to be. I know you would have said in something about entrepreneur, because this is something you always repeated. Yeah. When we're in school.
Yeah. And probably annoying. Oh.
No, it's not annoying, because yeah. I was always impressed by how do you even know what you want to do for me? Because for me, it keeps changing every year.
Yeah.
Or at least every season for some reason.
Yeah.
But I just want to say how proud I am that you're doing something that you thought you would you wanted to do. And I know you say it's still at the beginning, you haven't reached your level, but this is something that you dreamed of and you're currently doing it. So proud of you. Thanks for coming. We really appreciated having you. I know it was a big stop for you because you had not planned to stop by here, but appreciate you.
Yeah, man. You guys are doing good stuff. Keep it up.
Trying to get sponsoring.
And so, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching. Again, this is Borderless Minds. If you have not subscribed, this is the kind of content we're trying to create, bring you more guests like this that give you more insights and perspectives of different things that you didn't even consider. And so please go ahead and subscribe. Follow us on social media. We're on Instagram and TikTok @TheBMPod, @TheBMPod, @TheBMPod. And go ahead and subscribe. Turn on your notifications. That way you can get notified if we upload any new content. But other than that, Borderless Minds, Kenny, we thank you and we wish you success. Hopefully we'll be sipping onto some coffee of Higa coffee next time we see you.
Absolutely. Comment Ifak.
Thank you.